Welcome to installment 157 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments, prohibitions 94, 95, and 96 regarding the sacrifice of blemished animals, prohibition 97, not to place a blemish in an animal, and positive commandment number 86, to redeem those sanctified animals which have become blemished. There are various stages and acts which must be performed in the sacrificing of an animal. In the event that the animal being sacrificed is a blemished animal, a baal mum, each one of the acts is a separate prohibition. As we discussed yesterday, that someone who dedicates an animal which is blemished is transgressing one prohibition. Someone who slaughters such an animal is transgressing another prohibition. One who sprinkles the blood on the altar is transgressing another prohibition. Today, prohibition 94 adds another prohibition to this list. Someone that burns the fat of the animal on the altar is transgressing prohibition 94. The fats of all animals were not meant to be eaten. In fact, the consumption of fat was strictly prohibited. Rather, the fats were burned on the altar. The prohibition of the burning of the fats with regard to a blemished animal is implied from the verse and is not explicitly stated. As the book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 22 states, that from them, out of the blemished animals, one may not place a burnt offering upon the altar. The oral tradition relates that this placing on the altar is referring to the fats which are brought on the altar, known as the emurin. There is, however, again a matter of controversy as to how many prohibitions are thereby entailed. As the Rambam quotes the Sifra, which explains that there are actually two prohibitions. From the words leisitnu, one may not place, we learn that there is a prohibition against placing all of the fats on the altar. However, the additional word mayhem from them teaches us another prohibition, that even someone who places a few of the fats, only part of the fats, on the altar is also transgressing this prohibition. Therefore, according to the Sifra, there would be a total of five prohibitions relating to the sacrifice of a blemished animal, the three we mentioned yesterday, and two relating to the placing of the fat on the altar. The Rambam, however, disputes this position based on the Talmudic discussion in Tmura, that there is a disagreement there between Abaya and Rava. Abaya and Rava have a general disagreement about whether we count a lav shebeklolos as separate prohibitions or only as one prohibition. This means to say that when a prohibition has several aspects, do we count each aspect as a separate prohibition? As the Rambam brings the example in his introductory section, where he gives the general principles of determining the number of mitzvahs, in the ninth principle, he brings this discussion and brings the example of the paschal sacrifice, which may not be eaten raw or boiled. Now, does this count as two separate prohibitions? Abaya says that they are two separate prohibitions. And the Rava says, no, it is only one prohibition which has several aspects. This same disagreement is present here in the Talmudic tractate Tmura. Do we count these two aspects of sacrificing a blemished animal's fats, of bringing all of them or of bringing part of them? Are they two separate commandments? Abaya says yes. Rava, however, says no, it is one general commandment. And the Rambam concludes in his ninth principle that the law is like Rava. He brings the proof from the Talmudic tractate Sanhedrin that the law is like Rava, and therefore it is only one prohibition. We do not count the lav shebeklolos, which has many separate aspects of the prohibition, as separate prohibitions. Therefore, the burning of the fats is one prohibition, bringing a total of four. These laws are discussed in the Talmudic tractates of Zevachim and Tmura. All of these prohibitions we have mentioned are explained in the Talmudic tractate Bechedes in the 6th chapter as referring to a permanent blemish, a mum kavua. This is apparent from the blemishes which are described in this section, such as limbs with an altered length, or the testicles of an animal which have been altered, severed, or crushed in various manners. These are obviously permanent blemishes. The Sifri quotes another verse in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verse 1, which seems to repeat the prohibition relating to the sacrifice of a blemished animal. The verse states, Lei tizbach l'Hashem Elokecha, one may not sacrifice to God, she'er voseh asher yeh ve'mum, an ox or a lamb which has a blemish. The Sifri explains that this teaches us something new, that up until now we knew only an animal with a permanent blemish was prohibited. This verse teaches us that even a temporary blemish, one which will go away, is also prohibited from being brought as a sacrifice. And this is prohibition number 95. One is also punished by lashes for violating this prohibition, as in the other prohibitions we have mentioned. Prohibition number 96 adds another facet to this general prohibition of a blemished animal. Not only Jews are allowed to bring sacrifices to the temple, but even a non-Jew is allowed to offer a sacrifice. One might think, says the Rambam, that since a non-Jew is offering the sacrifice, and he himself is not bound strictly by all the laws of the Torah, that perhaps he is allowed to bring an animal as a sacrifice which is blemished. The Rambam says this is why we have a separate verse in the same chapter of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 25, which states, Umiyad ben Nechar, that from a non-Jew, Le sakriv was lechem elokecha mikol eila, one may not bring any such animal as a sacrifice, meaning any animal with a blemish. One that offers such an animal, meaning they accepted such a blemished animal from the non-Jew and brought it as a sacrifice, is lashed. There is another verse which also seems to repeat this prohibition against sacrificing a blemished animal. Verse 21 in the same chapter 22 of Leviticus states, Kol mum lo yiyeh bei, that no blemish is allowed in it. The Sifra explains that this is again not a repetition. This is a separate prohibition. The prohibition here is not to inflict a blemish upon an animal that is presently unblemished. It may not have a blemish inflicted upon it. This is called matil mum bekoshim, to place a blemish upon a sanctified animal. The Talmudic tractate of Veda Zara states that the penalty for this is lashes, of course only at the time that the temple is in existence. These last two prohibitions, not to accept a blemished sacrifice from a non-Jew, and not to place a blemish on an animal, are both tied together in a story relating to the destruction of the Second Temple. Our sages tell us that the Second Temple was destroyed because of unfounded hatred. There was a Jew named Barak Kamtze who had an enemy, and there was a person in the town with a similar name, Kamtze. The man wanted to invite Kamtze to the feast that he was throwing. However, his servant mistakenly invited Bar Kamtze. When he saw that his enemy, Bar Kamtze, was at the meal, he immediately told him to leave. Bar Kamtze, being embarrassed, asked to be allowed to stay upon condition that he would pay for what he had eaten. After being refused, he offered to pay for half of the meal, the entire banquet, finally the entire course of the entire feast. He was still refused and told to immediately leave the banquet. He was so embarrassed, he swore that he would take revenge upon this rich Jew and all of the sages as well and all of the Jewish people, since they watched him being shamed and did not intervene. He went to the Romans and started a rumor that the Jews were revolting against the Emperor of Rome. The Emperor heard this rumor and asked Bar Kamtze what proof he had. Bar Kamtze replied, donate a sacrifice to the temple and see if they will accept it. The sacrifice was handed over to Bar Kamtze, whereupon en route he inflicted a blemish upon the animal. He was matil mum. The blemished animal came to the temple, and it was apparent to the sages that this was an obvious attempt by Bar Kamsa to slander the Jews and have the Roman Empire inflict punishment upon them. The sages, in order to make peace, wanted to make a temporary exception to this rule and wanted to bring the sacrifice even though it was blemished. However, the elder sage, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas, said, "How could you do such a thing? People will think that one can donate, can sacrifice, a blemished sacrifice from a non-Jew. Since lives were in danger, if the Roman Empire would attack the Jews, certainly many lives would be lost. And therefore they sought to kill this Bar Kamsa, since he was attempting to destroy the Jewish people and kill lives. However, Rabbi Zechariah stopped them from doing this also. He said that people might think that the punishment for inflicting a blemish upon an animal is death, whereas the penalty is only lashes. Therefore, the animal was not sacrificed, and the Roman Empire, the emperor, thought that the Jews were planning on rebelling, and he thereupon attacked the temple. And Rabbi Yochanan says in the Talmud that because of the humility, or as Rashi explains, the unwillingness of Rabbi Zechariah and his tolerance of this Bar Kamsa, because of his tolerance, Hechrivas Baseinu, that our house, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed, Vesorfes Hecholenu, the sanctuary was burned, the Higlisanu Me'arseinu, and we were exiled from our land. The final commandment of today's portion relates what must be done if the animal has become blemished. This is a positive commandment number 86, which dictates that an animal which has been sanctified and declared to be a sacrifice and has developed, for whatever reason, a blemish, must be redeemed, that money must be given and used to purchase a new sanctified animal for a sacrifice, and the old animal becomes a normal animal, which just like any other, which may be eaten privately by the person. The Sifri derives this commandment from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 15, which states, "Rak b'chol avas nafshecha," that for your own personal desire, "Tizbach v'chalta basar," that you may slaughter and eat the meat. The Sifri explains that this commandment, that you may slaughter and eat the meat, is referring to an animal which was previously designated as a sacrifice and has developed a blemish. When may you sacrifice it? When may you slaughter it and eat it? Only after you have redeemed it. And the money which you have used to redeem it must be used to buy a new sacrifice. The details of this commandment are related, says the Rambam, various places in the Talmud. In fact, it's Becheres, Tmura, Chulin, Erechin, and Me'ilah. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.